Good morning, friends. We've got another great episode of What Do You Know with Joe. Before we get into everything in the recap, let's get to that intro.
Sit down and chop it up. Let's talk about it.
Well, let's ask the right question.
Who's convinced?
We're starting to see the mind brain stuff now.
It's What Do You Know with Joe.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another week of What Do You Know with Joe. We've got Winnie. We've got Baxter. Lindsay's teaching. Things are going well. Happy New Year. We're close to it. I hope everyone had a happy holidays. It's been a while since you've heard this voice through the waves. I think a couple of holidays have passed. But we'll catch up in all that in the post-pod talk. Don't want to take time away from my awesome guest, Adut Bulgak. For those who follow the account, you saw the hype video that was posted for that. I will be reposting it again, but it is a great episode. We had a lot of great conversations. I hope to get a dude back on, and hope everyone can enjoy the conversation. And like I said, stick around at the end. We'll catch up. It's been a long time. We'll talk about some stuff, and who knows? Maybe we'll give a little insight into what's going on the next episode. Could be fun when he's giving me this look right now, like don't do it. I don't know. I might. I don't know. We'll see. Talking to my dog right now. Anyways, let's jump into the episode. Hope you guys enjoyed the conversation with the dude. We'll go ahead and get started. Hello, and welcome to the What Do You Know with Joe show. I have a great guest, Adut Bulgak, with me. Adut is a professional basketball player and also a great friend. And welcome, Adut, for joining the podcast.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So as they didn't know this, but before we kind of talking, you were mentioning you're in the middle of a snowstorm right now, which is... We're starting it again in the winter, which is nuts.
Yes, it's so bad right now. The roads were terrible today, and it's freezing outside. But, yeah. I mean, it's Edmonton for you.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, would you say a majority of the year it's cold and freezing? Not necessarily snowy, but would you say a majority of the year it's kind of cold and freezing? Or
Yeah, it's on the colder side. Not freezing. We had a very fluctuating summer this year. So.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Well, I'm sure we'll learn more and more about Canada, but we'll kind of go ahead and get started. So I kind of did a little bit of research, wanted to, you know, kind of learn a little bit. So correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm learning. I am wrong from a lot of the time. So I want to make sure I'm not. So you were originally from South Sudan, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So what made you fall in love with basketball there, or made you kind of like fall in, like what made you get to where you are now in Canada today? What made you go from South Sudan? Was it basketball necessarily, or was it you wanted to go from just, or is that just something else?
I was actually born in Kenya in a refugee camp in Kakuma. And okay. Then my family moved to Canada in 1999.
Okay.
And I started off playing pretty much everything. I played tennis, soccer, volleyball for about 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then I dislocated my shoulder in high school.
Oh,
yeah. And so that's kind of when I started being more serious with basketball. And so I'm a pretty late bloomer. Like, I didn't start playing until I was about 14 years old.
Okay. And
after that, I just kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah. So you were like most of, like, you were like everyone else, you know, you just kind of, you played everything growing up, and then, you know, finally, and it's interesting, like you said, you didn't really hone in on basketball till you were 14. Was that, and I know it's different everywhere, was that around high, that was around high school, you said? That was like, you know, so.
Junior high.
Junior high, okay. Mm-hmm. When you started honing in on basketball, when did you think, okay, maybe I have, you know, next level skills, or maybe I have something that's different than the rest of these players? Was there a specific moment, maybe?
I played for our provincial team, and we went to a couple AAU tournaments. We went to one in Chicago, and then we went to one in Nashville.
Okay.
And so it was a Nike Summer Classic in Chicago. That was back in 2009. And then the Music City Classic in Nashville, I think, was it? But yeah. So after that, that's when I actually got like all the recruiting letters, and that kind of stuff isn't big in Canada. And
okay.
So like by the end of the summer, I had like backpacks full of letters, and I was like, oh shoot. Okay. North Carolina wants me. Oh, this school wants me. And I still didn't know anything about those type of schools or the NCAA or JUCO or anything like that. But here I am getting all these offers to play college ball. And so mm-hmm. that was the summer of my 10th grade year. Okay. And so after that, that's when I kind of just started taking it more seriously.
Gotcha. And at those, I just from like watching documentaries, do you ever, at those camps, did you ever run into people who you played with in the league, like at those camps potentially, or did you ever like play against them in school? Like, I'm not going to jump ahead and give away too much, but like, were you down in Tallahassee? Did you ever play with anyone that you met, like at one of those like grassroots summer camp programs where like the, like a lot of recruiting takes place?
Not that I can remember. I think I actually did play against one of my teammates, Kai James, when we were younger.
Okay.
Like I said, basketball wasn't even anything that was like in my forefront until after the recruiting. And so I honestly wasn't even focused on players. I didn't know who anybody was. So there's that.
So you mentioned North Carolina and some other schools. What would you say, I guess, what were some of the top schools you were like, you know, obviously UNC Tar Heels, historic basketball program, Florida State, where you ended up attending, historic basketball playing for Sioux. What were some other schools maybe that you were getting looks at that you were debating to go to?
I think the biggest one for me was Cal Berkeley. They don't usually recruit junior college players, and they were recruiting me when I was in Trinity Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, who doesn't want to play in California?
Yeah, right. It's not bad to play in California.
Yeah, they're a good academic school, and so mm-hmm. they were on my radar for schools I wanted to go to. I got pretty close to signing to Oklahoma State and Texas A&M. Those two were two other big ones. They were watching me a lot during my junior college run. So, yeah.
Nice. And you mentioned, I think a lot of athletes, you know, you look at, like, for example, in, you know, American football, Cam Newton, everyone talks about, you know, how he, you know, won a championship. He's there. But, you know, he was a junior college athlete at some point, too. And it's that was the road you took. Tell me a little about, you know, that road and, you know, A, maybe why you took it, or B, and B, you know, what do you, was it something you were looking back and you're like, I'm really glad I did this. And, you know, it led me to, you know, go down the path I wanted to.
JUCO was kind of by force. It wasn't like the route that I wanted to take, but I had ran into some issues of my AAU coach at the time, or not AAU, sorry, prep school, the prep program I went to out of high school. He was actually doing some very illegal activity when it comes to NCAA, breaching a lot of those amateurism rules that I didn't actually know about, but my name was being used. And so I ended up losing my scholarship to North Carolina. I had initially committed to North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
So I lost that scholarship when all that information came out. Mm-hmm. And I was honestly ready to quit basketball because I didn't know what else was after that. Like I said earlier, I didn't really know much about sports in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so I was just ready to pack my bags and go back home to Canada. And I just called one of my friends, Leanne Ose, who's a mentor of mine at the time. And I was just literally boohoo crying to her about what happened and how I was about to get on a flight the next day and go home. And she pretty much told me, just wait, don't do anything irrational. Just mm-hmm. give me a couple hours. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess she went and made a call to the junior college, Trinity Valley. She was an alumni there. And my coach pretty much gave me a scholarship blindly, and it just worked out for the best for both of us. So
mm-hmm. I think you were due a little bit there, especially since of the unfortunate situation that happened, especially. And I, you know, that's so unfair, and I feel, you know, that's so sad to hear. I'm sorry that you had to go through something like that. So you went to Trinity Valley, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, what tell me a little about maybe like the transfer portal, and, you know, like after your first season, you know, you knew you probably could play at that level, and you were getting ACC looks before. When did you think you were ready to make? Did you make the jump to the transfer portal that first year after you went, or how long were you at Trinity Valley?
No, I had to finish out the 2 years at Trinity Valley, so I spent my freshman and sophomore year there, and I had a great experience there. Like, my teammates, coaches, everything. It's a mm-hmm. small school, and so it's very family oriented, which is what I really needed being so young and coming from internationally. And so I enjoyed my time there. And then after the 2 years, that's when I decided to continue on and go NCAA Division I.
Gotcha. Awesome. And so, you know, tell me a little about FSU, Florida State. Tell me a little about, you know, how you kind of got there and like how you got on their radar maybe.
So during my JUCO years, I was a two-time All-American there and freshman of the year my first year and then national player of the year my second year. Mm-hmm. And so that just kind of obviously lit up my profile. Mm-hmm. And so there was just tons of coaches and even my teammates as well. Like we went undefeated. We only lost one game during my time there.
Yeah.
And won two national championships. So all the coaches were in our gym. And so
right.
That's kind of how I got on the radar for Florida State. And for me, it was just like, I like the South. I like the warm weather. I was like, why not stay? And I was like, again, who doesn't want to be in Florida? So yeah. Not the worst place to be when you're coming from Edmonton, where it's cold 9 months out of the year. And Coach Sue, Coach Huey, Coach Brooke, all of them, they just embraced us. And they treated everybody like family, like we were like their children. And I really liked the atmosphere that they had there. And so that's what made me commit to them. And mm-hmm. It turned out to be a great 2 years for me there.
Yeah, you guys had a lot of success. In fact, Coach Sue, I think, won Coach of the Year. Like, was it your first year there or your second year there?
Yeah, my first.
I mean, that's impressive in itself. I think that award says a lot about the team and how well they did, and as well as how much the team respects like the coaching staff and everyone just meshing together. So that's, I think that was really, you know, that's a cool accolade to look at. So you guys are having success. What was it? I spoke a little bit with Tangela about this, so I'd love to get your take on it too. You know, tell me a little about like, you guys were tournament teams. You guys went went both years you guys were there. Was there ever a year you went and won, you were like, okay, I think we could go kind of far, or was there another time where you noticed maybe like, kind of disparages, but maybe times where like, you know, you think you're going to expectations of like an NCAA tournament and it's either A, like more than you expected, or was it something maybe B that like, it wasn't, you know, your expectations maybe weren't met?
For me personally, it was like, I just came off of two national championships. And so I wasn't looking at it like, it wasn't a long shot for me, you know?
Sure.
Kind of the reality hit a little bit. It was like, okay, this is not your college team.
Yeah.
Competition is huge over here. But that first year was so ridiculous. It was like we had, I think, 6 players that became eligible that year. And so I think there was just a different type of hunger for our team. With all the transfers that we had, we were a much more mature team. And that first year, I honestly feel like we should have made the Final Four. And it slipped away from us in the last 3 minutes of the game. And that was very disheartening because we lost one of our best defensive players and like our leader, our captain, Megan. We lost her towards the end, and that really hurt us. And mm-hmm. then that second year as well, kind of the same story. We didn't make it as deep in the tournament, but that game against Baylor, I don't know. I was in so much foul trouble. It was like I could not catch a break, and it was like they needed me on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were just like, they just slipped away. Both games just slipped away so slightly, but mm-hmm. that was amazing. But we still did great things for the program in those 2 years. Memorable seasons, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, I think when I was writing up the questions, I have like in parentheses, it was like a well-fought game. And I think the final was like 80-74. And I think I also, in the one I sent to Mike, I think it said if she's comfortable talking about this, because I wasn't sure if it was a tender topic still. I wasn't sure if this was something we should talk about. But thank you for sharing. Yeah, no, that was after just reading through the, like you read through the, you know, the game you go through, you're like, oh, that's a nail biter. So, yeah, sorry to hear that. But as you mentioned, you guys were a well team. When did you feel ready to make, again, in that next step? Was it kind of like similar where you're like, I don't even know if I want to go professional after this? Or was it something you were like, No, I think I could go to the WNBA. I think my status is good to go to the next level. Did you have something similar when making that next jump from college to professional?
No, for me, basketball was just something that was like in the moment for me. It wasn't something that I ever looked like ahead into the future for. So WNBA, I honestly didn't even have that on my radar. I didn't even think I was going to play until at the end of that first year, the mock draft started coming out, and there was just so much media exposure around my name at that time. I think I was projected to go number 4 or something. And I still don't, like, I don't try to listen to social media or whatever is being said and all that stuff. But once I was in that pool of conversation, that's when I was like, okay, let's turn it up a notch, take it a little bit more serious, see how far I can actually get with this thing. And then it's like, once you actually go through the college student athlete route, for me, I even try to tell kids today, you got to reward yourself. Mm-hmm. All those 6 a.m.s, all those 4 or 5 hour practices, that struggle that you've been literally grinding for, at least go taste the fruits of your labor now. And so that's kind of why I jumped into the professional route afterwards.
Awesome. And I definitely, you know, I mean, you said it the other night, you went first round and you went 12th overall to New York. And I think, first off, there should have been more exposure around your name. I think, you know, there should have been, you know, something for sure. But, you know, I definitely also want to talk about, I definitely feel as though you have some great topics to talk about besides basketball. But the last couple of things I wanted to talk about with basketball, you played for New York, you got drafted by New York. And then you also played for Chicago and the Stars, correct?
I went to training camp for the Stars, but yes, I played for Chicago.
Gotcha. If you want to answer, what's more fun to play in, Chicago or New York?
I think New York. I think I was very spoiled.
Good answer.
Because I was the only rookie on the team, and so they just embraced me, and I had so much great leadership around me. Yeah, that was definitely much more fun experience for me.
That's awesome to hear. And like I said, I only have like a, too much. So I just want to make sure. So I read somewhere that you're currently in a sabbatical, which if that's true, that's awesome. I also saw, because via Instagram, you have a daughter. Tell me a little about your life away from basketball. Is there anything you want to, it sounds like basketball, like you said, was one of the things you stumbled across and you're really, really awesome at it. So, you know, let's make it, but you know, that WNBA website's a little bit cool in that it kind of tells you about something else. You know, it tells you a little bit more about the player. And I see here you had, you know, aspirations of being like, you know, a lawyer or things like that. Tell me a little about what you want to maybe do away from the game and maybe what, you know, things that are important to you and fun things that are, you know, that you want to do.
Yeah. So right now I'm sidelined because I tore my Achilles tendon in July. Sucks. I had my daughter in March.
Congratulations.
I just went, thank you. And I think I just like rushed back into the game. I mean, I started lifting weights 2 weeks after giving birth. That didn't really do anything, no negative effect on me on that. But the playing part, I hadn't played since March 2019, when we were heading into the pandemic. And so I'd just been out of the game for too long. And then I just tried to go super intense with my national team. And so that's kind of what caused the injury for me. And so I've actually, it's been a blessing in disguise because I really got to take time to actually pour those first few months. Like I got to spend so much time with my daughter, which is obviously invaluable for me. And that it hasn't been the worst journey for me. Mentally, it was tough. Because this is going to be my second year sitting out. But I mean, it's all part of the game. Injury is part of the game. And so I'm fine with that. I was advocating very fiercely for the South Sudan national team, along with two of my other friends. And fortunately enough, like all of that stuff went accordingly. And we finally have our first national team. And so that was a really cool experience. That was something that was like a huge project of mine. And I would really like to continue getting involved with the national team. whether it's a player or front office type of stuff, but just something that's going to help grow the game of basketball in South Sudan, because we have a lot of freakishly naturally athletic talent out there. And so we just want to keep bringing that exposure to South Sudan. And so that's what I would like to be working on right now as I'm sidelined.
And you mentioned it briefly. I loved it. So when you say South Sudan didn't have a national team, would you say both men and women, they didn't have a team, or was it just they didn't have a women's team?
The men, they've tried a few times to start up a national team, but they've always the organization has always kind of folded just because of disorganization and other problems they've had. But women, this is the first time ever they've had a team. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's really cool to hear. Like you said, I mean, the talents. I'm sure I would need more exposure on the girls side. I know Adut's from South Sudan, and she's one of the talents. But I know, like, just from other, like, for example, I know like Manu Bol was from South Sudan. So by that, you know, Bol is, you know, another, you know, South Sudan athlete. Although he might have been born in Kenya. I should have fact checked that before.
He's South Sudanese. That's
me. He's South Sudanese. See, there it is. So like exactly like the talents there. So it's like that. I think especially when you saw in the Olympics, you know, I think Nigeria came out and just blew USA out of the water. You know, mm-hmm. the talent's there. I mean, I think it's one of those things that, and especially I think even like, you know, you have players in the NBA, coaches in the NBA that want to coach at those countries for nationally. They don't necessarily want to be a part of like the American staff or the other stuff. They want to represent their own.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome to hear. That's cool. Good. I hope everything keeps going with it, and I hope it's there. So you still want to be close to the game. Is that what I'm hearing? You still want to get back into, do you still hope one day to like join back on a team and get playing in, you know, the
league? Yeah. I'm going very aggressive with my physiotherapy rehabbing right now. And so, yes, I definitely will be back next season overseas. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm learning a lot about, courtesy of Mike Tangelo, now you, I'm learning a lot about how, okay, now like, you know, you as especially WNBA athletes, you know, you guys, there really is no off season. It's, you know, as soon as the season ends, you guys are like, maybe, and that's what Mike was saying. He was in the middle of like fighting for time for you, or, like right then and there. You guys are going right into, you know, playing right then and there. There's no time off. So, you know, wishing you the best. Hope to see you back out there. And
thank you.
The podcast, you know, you're a friend of the podcast. So now we're going to be rooting for whatever team you come for. That's the team of the podcast.
thank you.
But, I had another question in my head, but I got off top. That's what it was. So I think, especially just because, like I said, you're a friend of the podcast and you have aspiration going back. What's one thing you think maybe, you know, us as a fan or like in creating exposure, right? Like you said, creating exposure. What's one thing, you know, we can do as fans that might be different to grow the game or maybe crush some stupid stereotype that's out there about the, you know, the game? I definitely want to help grow the game anywhere I can and, you know, grow exposure. On the last episode, we talked about having like a feature where you could watch on the NBA League Pass an NBA game and a WNBA game, and mm-hmm. something like that. You know, what's some ways you think we could, as fans, could help grow the game?
Definitely get into it. We're in an era of social media right now. Mm-hmm. All of us are on social media. Just go on there, search up a player, follow them, follow their journey. Talk about it. Talk about the games. You see a lot of NBA players now are honing in on the WNBA. We have mm-hmm. guys that are cut that you're seeing NBA players on the sideline on courtside games. And so the game is starting to get more exposure. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of letting people know about it, that we're there, we're still competing. And so it's just a matter of talking about it, spreading the word.
Okay. I gotcha. I definitely want to do it not only from a professional standpoint, but from a collegiate standpoint. I think like when I was a lot younger and I had the chance to go out to Denver, Colorado, but it was when also the women's tournament was being played there. And I think I still felt as though it was kind of cool because, you know, you have athletes that are there, but you know, whatever I can do to help grow exposure. Let's see what else. I will say this. You have to promise me something when you get back out there and you go, if it's possible, I'm not sure. I'm sure you can, but would you be able to dunk on someone if you
know? If I get my bunnies back, I definitely.
All right, we're here to get the bunnies back. That's what I want. I mean, that'd be so. I mean, I will definitely hype that up for sure, dude. If I see you go back out there, You're gonna see me jumping up like this.
Oh, I wish. I hope that I can get my vertical back, because and my athleticism, that would I'll definitely showcase a little something.
Okay, that's what we want. That's what we want. That's what we want. So as far as, you know, questions I had, I really enjoyed more of our conversation, you know, we were talking about away from. Is there anything you know, you wanted to ask, or is there anything you want to bring up and discuss a little bit more? I'd love to just, you know, keep going, but at the same time, I want to leave some time for you if there's anything you wanted to discuss or share, or, you know, get anything that, like I said, we can get more exposure on.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think you had some great questions, things I didn't even know I was going to touch on, but
that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. Well, like I said, we're here to help promote the game, and I hope, you know, the best with your physio training, and hope to see you back on the court. Wish your daughter the best. Hope she's doing well. We hope you can have you back on again after the game after you get your buddies back. We'll have you on and we'll talk about it. We'll go nuts.
Yes. We'll have a comeback podcast.
We'll have a comeback episode, and it'll just be the first 20 minutes will be highlight tips of you just repeatedly jumping. That's all. It'll just be that. We'll just do that. But, dude, I can't thank you enough for your time, and this conversation has been really fun. And I really do mean it. You're a friend of the podcast. You're a friend of mine now. And I hope to have you back on. And again, wish you the best with your training. Hope to see you back out there. And you've gained a new fan, and I will make sure everyone who listens is paying attention and watching the game.
I'm happy to hear that. I appreciate you. Thank
you for
having me again.
Of course. Happy to have you. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you soon.
See you soon.
All right, bye.
Thank you, everybody, and welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that new ad, and also thank you again, Adut, for coming on. We will get Adut back on here shortly, and hope the rehab is going well. Last I checked in, it was, so that was good. And it's like she said, as soon as she gets her bunnies back, we're going to have a highlight film, and that was me tapping my head. We're going to have a highlight film of it just playing like 100 times, and then she'll come back on, we'll talk about it, and then we'll also talk about some other stuff, but hope to have Adut back on. It was just a great conversation. Super sad to hear about that one thing about her scholarship from UNC getting taken away because of that coach that was doing bad, you know, recruiting things. And that's just frustrating because he was using a dude's name. That's not cool. But moving on, hope everyone is doing well. It's been a while, right? I mean, it's been a couple holidays have passed. Happy New Year. Happy New Year for sure. Let's see. New Year, me and Lindsay just, you know, brought in the new year with, had a bottle of champagne. Christmas, me and my family celebrated Christmas. So we were at my in-laws early, like 20th through the 22nd. And then we were up here celebrating Christmas with my family and Scott. And before that, I had the pleasure of going to the Dominican Republic for Thanksgiving with my extended family. And it was a great time. A lot of fun. If you have the means to go to the Dominican, or just to take a trip, I highly recommend you go to the Dominican. And we had the pleasure of staying at Iberostar Bavaro, Coral Level. I don't know if that matters. Shouts out to Coral Level. But it was a good time. And we had the pleasure of being accommodated by Alberly. Alberly was a gentleman and a scholar. Great man. Introduced us to Mama Juana. There were other great, great people who went, like Victor Jr., AJ, Alex. There were a lot of people who waited on us that were really, really, really nice and really awesome. But we just, you know, had the pleasure of being with Alberly a lot, and he was a great guy. If he's listening, hope you hear the shout out, and hope we get you on the pod soon, man. If you ever want to come on, that'd be great. He introduced us to this shot called Mama Juana. It's not necessarily a shot, but it's a drink. But basically, it's like rum or red wine mixed with this like specific tree bark and raisins. I think it's probably better with rum, in my opinion. But you take a shot of it, it's pretty good. It's not bad. Mojitos were on point. The margaritas were on point. The gin and tonic cauldrons were on point. It was just a great, great resort. Huge. You know, accommodating for all types of families, large and small. So, you know, also very observant. A lot of European travelers. We met a very nice German family one night from Dusseldorf. Very nice. And then a lot of Russians. And we looked up, that's like a 15-hour flight. So that tells you a lot about the Dominican. You know, if you're willing to go 15 hours for the beach, it says a lot about that beach, I think. So if you have the means, highly recommend you go. Again, Iberostar, Bavaro, we were coral level, coral's tight. You can, if you do that, you can meet our friend Alberly. But it was a great time. Moving on, post-pod's just with me. It was a great episode. I'm excited to get into next week's too. I'll give a little bit at the end, but not too much. So what we're going to do for the post-pod today, I'm going to give you since it was the holidays and we're still kind of in that, I definitely had a switch up of my top Christmas movies. I'm a big Christmas movie fan. Holiday films are definitely fun to watch. And I definitely think I had a reorg of my favorite holiday movies after this holiday. So we'll do top three favorite movie, top three favorite holiday movies, top three favorite new shows too. There's a couple new shows I started I'd like to share with everyone. I think everyone would be interested. So we'll go ahead and then we'll just wrap it up and then we'll talk a little bit about next week's episode a little bit. So top three favorite holiday movies. Now there, I'll start with the honorable mentions this week. Look, there are some great holiday films out there. I think we can all think of one that like we just think of. And it's funny, this one doesn't even in my it's my number three. But, you know, in honorable mentions, I have, you know, both Home Alone 1 and 2, both great holiday films. I just have some other ones that I like a little bit more, but I think those are staples of holiday films. They're both great. Kevin McAllister. The Grinch 2018 version with Benedict Cumberbatch is in my honorable mentions. Now, here's why. The music was great. Tyler, the Creator, Pharrell did the narrating. Great film. And it was just, I didn't think I would like it off rip, but it was pretty good. So it's in my honorable mentions. Year Without a Santa Claus and Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Those are like the ones from like the, oh man, like 60s or 70s. And it's like claymation, right? And it probably took like 80 years to make and where they're just all moving like really slowly. But those are classics. Those are just ones you watched as a kid where you heard maybe you watched as a kid and you heard your parents say, "Now this is what I used to watch on like Christmas Day or something." At least that's what I heard. Those two films are just great honorable mentions. But we'll get into the top three right now. Number three is going to be The Grinch 2001. That's one with Jim Carrey. I mean, that's just, to me, it's a great Christmas film. He, so many lines, not only from that movie, but also he just does such a great job with The Grinch. I think I saw that video, many of you may have seen it on Twitter, where, like, everyone thought a lot of what he was doing was him, but, like, the makeup would allow that, like, smile to get really big. That was what the video I saw was about, the smile. And then I saw Jim Carrey do it, and, like, it looked exactly like The Grinch's, and I was like, huh. So maybe they didn't, maybe that was just all him, and it was just goes to show how great that was. Great film. Can't go wrong. And if you haven't seen it, recommend starting there. If you're going to watch Grinch films, start with that Grinch and then watch the Benedict Cumberbatch one. There is the really old 1960s one, and that one's not bad. It's good. I think you need to watch that one to get a real appreciation of the Grinch. That's my order of the Grinch. Number two is going to be Elf. Recently saw something that Elf was potentially getting canceled. It's just, I don't know where I stand on that, but it's such a good film. I mean, it's just like Buddy the Elf, What's Your Favorite Color? I mean, it's so many pieces that you can go back and be like, wow, this is just it's just a good holiday time to watch. It's about being, you know, nice to everyone. It's the holiday spirit. It's, you know, and it's funny. How can you not? It's, gotta love Elf. So that's my number two. And coming to number one, I don't think this is everyone's number one, and if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Very, 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 very recommended. It's also very star-studded. Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn, Reese Witherspoon. Hysterical. Very good, you know, holiday film, and it's just great. I think I watched it upwards of like 8 times this holiday. It's just so good. Very, very, very star-studded cast, and I really think everyone would enjoy it. Those are my top three favorite holiday movies. You got, in the honorable mentions, I'm not going to go over those, but my number three is going to be The Grinch with Jim Carrey. Number two is going to be Elf. And then number one is Four Christmases. That's my top three. I encourage everyone to think about theirs. Feel free to message me about it. I'm sure everyone would like to jump on in. But from there, also, the other nice thing about when you go to visit family and friends on the holiday is they tell you what they've been watching, right? And they kind of give you some ideas. So Lost in Space is something new I started watching. I know that's a remake, but it did a pretty good job. The woman from House of Cards is in it. That's the only actress I knew before going in. But they do a really good job kind of modernizing the old show from what I've heard. And I never watched the old show, and I haven't seen any old clips. But I really like the new one. We're about two seasons in. It's only three seasons. But I didn't think I was going to like it that much. I mean, I like space stuff, all that kind of thing. I'm definitely about that life. But I didn't think I was going to like this one too much, because I just didn't know anything too much about it. But it was good. So I highly recommend if you want to start a show, starting there. Another one that just started I need to get into is The Book of Boba Fett. I will be getting into that. We will be doing updates. But if it's anything like The Mandalorian, which I'm thinking it is, it's going to be really good. So that's number two. Number three, Man in the Arena with Tom Brady. I am on episode 5, and I need to keep going, but it's a 10-part series being released. It's kind of like The Last Dance, but for Tom Brady. Really good. You get to kind of see raw, you know, emotion in how Tom Brady feels about things, and he's very authentic, and then they bring in some really cool players and personnel, that are close to Tom Brady, and, you know, the people that know Tom Brady, and it's very, very cool. So, I recommend if you're interested in sports, or, you know, it's also, I think, good for individuals who are looking, like, who like strong leaders, or are trying to be a leader, or like a manager or something. I highly recommend you watch it too, just because you can learn a lot about how Tom Brady became the leader he is, and like what kind of, you know, thought processes and, you know, what he does to have that mentality, and, you know, how you can maybe apply it to, you know, what you're doing. But it's a very, very good show so far. So that's going to do it for us today on the What Do You Know With Joe show. I want to thank Adut Bulgak for joining us again today. And, you know, I hope to have her on again soon, after the bunnies come back, of course. Hope you enjoyed my top picks for movies and new shows. Feel free to check them out. Not to give away too much, but next week we're going to have Mike Cowan from the Cowan Group Global come on the show again, and two players. I won't disclose who they are just yet. You'll have to see this week via social media. Tune in. It's going to be a great time. We have some great topics, a great bunch of sports topics, and other, you know, interests for the players. So very interested and excited for everyone to hear that. I think that's Baxter or Winnie. You guys got anything? Nah, crickets from them. Okay. Well then, I hope everyone has a great week, and thanks for catching in and tuning in. How could I forget? Let's hit that beautiful, beautiful outro. Let's go.